2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Even though we're going to look verses 1 through 5, we're going to read up to verse 10. This is the reading of God's word. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time when we are gathered here to hear your word. We pray that your Spirit will work in us. Without the work of your Spirit, that all this will be just a waste of time. But Father, if your Spirit works and enable us to hear your word, hear the loving voice of God through your word, that word will cause us to be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Mature us. Cause us to grow in Jesus Christ to the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that we may live our lives in terms of glorifying you, that our eyes will be focused on Jesus and His glory. Oh Father, let us live our lives clearly demonstrating how much you love us. Oh Father, receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we begin our journey through 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. You and I, Christians, we live by faith. We live by faith in the resurrection of the dead. We live in this world witnessing our eternal reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We live by faith in the reality that though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We live by faith in the reality that our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, But the things which are not seen are eternal. We live Christ-centered life. We live the heaven-centered life. Thus, no matter what happens in this world, we do not lose heart. Now in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul continues in the same vein. Verses 1 through 4. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. There are many imageries that Paul uses here. There is the earthly tent, and there is the eternal house in the heavens. We live in the earthly tent as we live our lives here on earth. And we will live in the eternal house in the heavens when we live our lives in heaven forever. Verses 2, 3, 4 speak as if our dwelling is like a clothing, which we put on or we take off. Be clothed or be unclothed. What is Paul talking about here? Our spirits, you know, we're made up of spirit and body. Our spirits live, when we live our lives here on earth, in the earthly tents. Our houses, which will be torn down when we die. Our spirits live in our bodies. And the bodies that are subject to death and decay. So the physical death is described as our houses being torn down. And it is described as being unclothed with the earthly tent. The earthly houses. Compared to that, at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of the people of God will be resurrected to the glorified bodies. That reality is described as being clothed with a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the dwelling from heaven. In this world, all die. All will die without exception. For everyone, there will be a time when his or her house will be torn down and be unclothed with the earthly tent, the earthly house. Now, as Christians, we are not saying that this is a bad thing. Our earthly house being torn down or be unclothed with the earthly tent is not a bad thing for us. Paul is not saying that dying in this world is a bad thing. He is the one who said even death is gain. And do you remember when we read our passage? If you go to verse 8, Paul says, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." We'll look at that verse next Lord's Day, but he prefers to die. So physical death is not a bad thing to Christians. World thinks that physical death is a bad thing. I mean, that's finished, you're done. But that's not what we believe. So when Paul says what he says, first thing we need to understand is that, you know, being unclothed with this earthly tent, that is not a bad thing. However, our ultimate desire is not to be with the Lord forever and ever, just being unclothed with the earthly tent. But our ultimate desire is to be with the Lord as the whole man, with the glorified, resurrected bodies united with our glorified spirits. We ultimately desire to be clothed with a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the dwelling of heaven, from heaven. For non-Christians, there will only be being unclothed with the earthly tents. They will not be clothed with the glorious eternal house in the heavens. For them, after being unclothed with the earthly tents, there is only a resurrection of judgment awaiting for them. You see, Christians, you and I, we ultimately desire not just dying and being with the Lord. Yes, that is good also. Not just being unclothed with the earthly tents. That's good also, but what we ultimately desire is being clothed with the glorious eternal houses of heaven. Why? We prefer to die as soon as possible, as soon as our work is done here, so that we could be with the Lord. That is a good thing. But that is not our ultimate desire. We want more than that. What we want is not just be unclothed with the earthly tent, but be clothed with glorious house from heaven. Why is that? Because our ultimate purpose is the glory of God. See, when I die today, a couple people will cry, but for me, it's the best thing that could happen to me. Yeah, I don't just say because I'm preaching. When I die, it's good for me. I'll be happy. But glory of Jesus Christ is still not visible to the whole world to see, so that everybody in this whole universe will confess that Jesus is God and everything that he says is true. Even though me being with God in heaven is a good thing, but my desire is Jesus' glory be manifested, visibly manifested, so that every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord and God, and that he will receive all the glory. And when will that happen? When when I am clothed with glorious house of heaven. Not just when I just die. What we desire is the return, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we desire is the resurrection of our bodies to the glorified body, so that all that our Lord Jesus has done and accomplished will be visibly consummated, so that everyone, even the non-Christians, will be confessing that Jesus is God and all of His words are true, so that He and He alone will receive all the glory. That's our ultimate desire. We live by faith in the resurrection of the dead. We live looking forward to that day. We live with the confidence and hope of that day. So yes, Paul is focusing his eyes on the things that are not seen, but see, that things that are not seen is not going to be forever not seen. One day it will be visible. But he's still focusing on the things that are not seen right now. Heavenly realities. Our lives here on earth will have groaning. We groan. But this groaning is not a result of our suffering so much, but it is a result of desiring and waiting for the resurrection and thus the visible consummation of our Lord's accomplishments. We groan not because we just suffer here and, I hate suffering. No, that's not what Paul is talking about. Our groaning comes from the longing to see Jesus Christ and all of his accomplishments to be visible, so that he, at that time, will receive all the glory. Verse 2 says, "For indeed in this house we groan." But why? Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Verse 4, "For indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life." It is not just desiring to be unclothed with the earthly tents. Some want to be unclothed with the earthly tents just to avoid the sufferings of this world. But this is not Christian faith. We don't want to go to heaven because we don't like sufferings here. That is not why we want to go to heaven. God is the one who causes us to go through those sufferings. It is God's way to make us more and more like Jesus Christ, to make us participate more and more in the life of Jesus Christ. Our sufferings are never God's judgment or punishment for us. God disciplines us as His own sons. And because the sufferings are God's will for us in this life, we endure them even with joy. It's not to avoid those we say we want to go to heaven. That is not what Paul is saying. And you know how much Paul suffers. We hear that kind of stuff, I want to go to heaven because I'm just too tired of suffering here. And you have to question whether he really wants to die and go to heaven. What he's saying is, I don't want to suffer anymore. He's not saying, I want to die and go to heaven. Our groaning is not coming from the sufferings that we go through. We groan because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. We want the heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished to be completely, visibly consummated. That day, no one will argue with us. No one will deny Jesus Christ. They can't. Even non-Christians with their own tongues confess Jesus Christ to be God. And it's not just kind of revengeful wish that we want non-Christians to confess. No, by doing that, that Jesus will receive all the glory. That he will be acknowledged. And that's what we desire. It's not worrying about what I'm going to get on my next test tomorrow. It's not worrying about how much I'm going to make this week so I could live. God says, don't worry about what to eat and what to drink, brothers and sisters. When he said that, just trust him. Don't worry. But your whole focus is about Jesus' glory. We look not at the things that are seen, but things that are not seen. We live in terms of our reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished. As long as you come to this church, my job is to remind you of that. Because you're going to forget so soon. You will live as if this world is everything. And my job is to remind you that, no, this world is not everything. Through his word, God shows us how Christians are. See, Paul is not the super Christian, even though compared to us, we have to say he's super Christian. But God's purpose in showing us Paul is not to show him as super Christian so that if you don't measure up to Paul, you're okay because you're not super Christians. Only Paul is. No, that is not what God is intending. He's showing Paul and he's saying, this is how Christians are. And look at how Paul lives. What is his focus? What is his desire? What is his ultimate goal? I don't know. I lived, 50 years now. And I don't consider myself as wealthy. But somehow God gave me everything that I have. And for 50 years, I didn't really have to worry about what to eat and what to drink. Why does he take care of all these things so that I could focus on His glory. He gives us everything we need. If you don't become greedy, then God always gives you enough. It's when greed kicks in and we want more than what we really need. That's why we start to worry about the affairs of this world. But see, God will give us everything we need so that we could focus on His glory. See, do you remember God gave manna to His people? Why? So that they will know that man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread of this world. So that they could focus on His word and His glory. That's why He said, I will give you what to eat. So don't worry. Your worry should be something else. And exactly that's the Christian life today. God will give you what you need to live. But He's not going to give you so that you could satisfy your appetite of greed. Paul, whole focus is on the glory of Jesus Christ. It is not just desiring our sufferings here on earth to end. And this is not just our wish, but it is the reality of heaven that will be visibly consummated. It is the reality of heaven that has been already accomplished, though not visible yet. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been not only unclothed with the earthly tent, but He is already clothed with the eternal dwelling of heaven. As far as Jesus is concerned, this is not just Paul's wish or just, you know, wishing to be fulfilled. But when it comes to Jesus, it is already accomplished. And Jesus is the first fruit, guaranteeing that we will be just like Him. And verse 5, now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. God gave us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, as a pledge. You know that word pledge can be translated as a down payment. Down payment for security. You know, we're so used to liars and cheaters of this world that somehow, even if you put down payment, they still worry about whether you're going to pay the rest of it. But see, down payment is showing the other party my intention to pay in full. But see, the world doesn't think like that anymore because we're full of liars and cheaters. But when God makes a down payment, do you ever doubt that He will make full payment? And that's the kind of time that we live. It's about down payment. Because it's not fully visible, it's not fully consummated, but God gave us down payment already. It's guaranteed. So the Holy Spirit that He gives us is a pledge. It's a down payment. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any doubt that the full payment will come. So So Paul, even though his whole hope and his focus is on the unseen things of heavenly things, but he understands that he already has a down payment. He has guaranteed from God. The Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 22, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, in Him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit came to us and made us a new creation and gave us faith to believe all this. Your faith is the proof that the Holy Spirit is with you. And the Holy Spirit who is with you, He has been given to you as a pledge from God. So you are the witnesses of all this thing to be true. We believe. Now one more thing before we end, and this is going to take some time to explain. Why is Paul using the image of tents here? When we hear the words tent, we are reminded of the Old Testament tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So there, the tent of meeting is tabernacle. So Paul using this tent imagery, there's a purpose. And look at what Paul was doing ahead of chapter 5. Remember, comparison and contrast with the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he's doing it, continually doing it. Same thing here. Paul does not want us to apply his teaching only to an individual experience. When you read chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, you might say, oh, so I will die one day and I'll be unclothed. And later on, I will be resurrected. I will be clothed with heavenly house. As if Paul is just teaching you this in terms of your own personal experience. Of course, that is true. But he's telling you much more than your just personal experience. And this is how you have to read the Bible. You don't just read the whole Bible in terms of your own personal experience. And when you do that, you're not going to see the whole forest. You're only going to see the tree and you're going to miss the main point. What Paul is saying in our passage is not just about Christians' death and resurrection as an individual. We must also understand the teaching of Paul in terms of the whole redemptive history of God. The era of the earthly tent, the era of the tabernacle, is over. The Old Testament is over. And the new era of heavenly house has come. The Old Testament has passed away and the reality has come. The heaven has begun. We must understand even chapter 5, verse 17 in the same way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. It's not just teaching you the individual experience. It is showing you the whole redemptive history of God. Do not understand chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, like not just you were non-Christians, but now you are a new creation. Don't do that. But everything that was about the Old Testament has passed away, and the new creation has begun. The heavenly reality, which all things in the Old Testament was pointing to, is now accomplished. That is what Paul is saying. The new era has come. Revelation 21 verse 1a. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Revelation 21 verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The earthly has passed away. And only thing that remains at the end is heavenly. The true temple has come. Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the true church, and heaven is the true temple. The earthly temple, the earthly tabernacle has been torn down. The heavenly dwelling of God, the true and eternal temple has been accomplished. God gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge that it is true. But it is not yet consummated visibly. Thus our lives are lived in terms of looking forward to that day in which it will be visibly consummated. We cannot and must not live as if we are still living in the era of the earthly tent. We cannot live according to this world anymore. Look at what Paul is saying. When you see your death, when you see other people's death, when the earthly tent is torn down, and you have this hope that heavenly house, you will be clothed with heavenly house, don't just see the individual death, but look at the whole redemptive history of God. Look at what is happening. The earthly tent being torn down. The Old Testament has been passed. The heavenly has come. The new era has begun. We do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. When a sinner dies, it is as if the life is swallowed up by death. At that moment, it seems that there is nothing in this world that would be of any help. It is like death laughing at us. It's like death saying, I won. All is done. No more joy, no more hope. This is the picture of the sinners in this world as they die. This is all the non-Christians are able to see. The question is death really victorious forever? No, says the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the cross, as our Lord Jesus Christ dies for his people's sin, God has killed death itself forever for his people. Jesus, because of our sins, was swallowed up by death on the cross, but he is God. He has no sin. He was victorious over death and resurrected from the dead. And all of us who are united to him, we are also victorious over death and will resurrect. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. You will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. This is our already accomplished reality of heaven, our eternal spiritual reality. And when Jesus returns, all will be visibly consummated. The eternal life cannot remain in this world. The eternal life cannot remain in death. It must go to the eternal place. It must go to God. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, with the eyes of faith, see how what is mortal has been swallowed up by life in Jesus Christ, and witness that reality through your life in this world. As we see the earthly tents being torn down, every time you see a people die, see through them the destruction of this world and no longer live in terms of this world. The earthly tent being torn down, that the whole earth will be torn down. The earth will be destroyed. The new earth will be given. This is what you must see. Old has passed away, behold, new has come. Let us live by faith. Let us live by the reality of that day when we will resurrect to a glorified body and stand before God and live with Him forever and ever. Understand what Paul is doing here. He wants to be clothed with that heavenly house. Because he wants to see Jesus face to face. Let us live according to what God, in terms of what God has done and accomplished. Understand what time it is. The earthly time has passed already for you and for me. Seriously, all your effort in terms of this world, if Jesus comes back tonight, what are you going to do? If your whole life is just about this world, it's just complete waste. And I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to... That's not my purpose, but I truly want all of you to live that life that will bring glory to God. That will be worthy of your eternal life that has already been accomplished for you. Understand what is important. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. Oh, Father, we too desire not only to be unclothed with earthly tent, but to be clothed with heavenly house. So that all that Jesus has accomplished will be visibly consummated, and all the glory will be given unto him. Oh Father, we thank you that that reality has already been accomplished, yet not visible. Let us live our lives in terms of that reality, so that we may witness that eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Bless us, God. Let us live by faith. We pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.